This is the Business Storytelling Show with Christoph Trapp. Name a top 20 storytelling podcast and a top 5% podcast globally, Christoph chats with thought leaders and experts to share tips and tricks that can help you tell your company's stories better to drive business results. Available wherever you listen to podcasts, live streamed on major social media channels, and part of the DB&A television network, available on most U.S. television sets and streaming on Roku and Amazon Fire. Here's Christoph with today's episode. Let's go.
Let's go, business storytellers. Hey, how's everyone doing? Thanks for tuning in for another episode here. Today, we want to talk about data storytelling. And certainly, we have enough data out there to drive ourselves crazy. But how do we use that data to tell better story? And who better to talk to today than Brent Dykes? He's the author of Effective Data Storytelling. And if you're watching on Amazon, that is the featured item in the carousel. It will be the whole show today. If you're watching on TV or any of the other channels or listening on the podcast, just head on over to my Amazon storefront and check it out there. AuthenticStorytelling.net/live will get you there. So let's find out, how do we tell better stories? That's always the million-dollar question to begin with on anything we talk about here. But today we're going to focus on data. How do we use data? How do we back up our stories? How do we share our stories? And you know, how do we not overdo it? That's always easy. Data dumping is not storytelling, period. That's the hill I'm going to die on. We'll see if Brent, I don't think he's going to be disagreeing with me, but if he is, we're going to have a lively discussion. Brent, welcome to the show. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, great to see you, Christoph. Thanks for having me on.
And do we have to arm wrestle about that statement, or do you disagree?
I'm on your side. I don't believe in data dumps. So.
Oh, my goodness. But I don't know if anybody believes in them, but people certainly do them.
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time.
Happens all the time. So tell us about data storytelling. What is that, and why is that a topic that you dove into so deeply?
Yeah, I mean, my background, I worked in marketing analytics a long time. I was in consulting side, worked for Adobe. And one of the things I would run into all the time is that either consultants or clients would struggle with communicating insights. And so I felt like there's got to be a better way. And even myself, I've had situations where I've done a good job and a bad job. And, you know, and sometimes I'd look back and say, well, why was one successful? Why wasn't? And so that's when I started to investigate the whole topic of data storytelling, which I view as the combination of, you know, you have an insight and you combine that with narrative and visuals. And sometimes, a lot of the times I've seen people kind of just assume that data visualization, you know, is a synonym for data storytelling. And really the visuals or the charts are a part of it, because often we're working with data that is very complex and we need to visualize it to really, you know, emphasize or show the key points or insights in the data. But the narrative component is probably a bigger part of what we're trying to do with data storytelling.
And I think that the narrative is always interesting, and it's actually hard sometimes to figure out what needs to go, what can stay. I was actually doing a report earlier and I didn't dump data, but I was getting there. You know, I was like, oh, I got to share this and I got to do this. Mm-hmm. And this needs to be in there and that needs to be in there. And because, you know, it's all this stuff, like, but you have to tell this story. You have to draw the line somewhere, right? So how do people do that? How do we pick the right data? How do we pick the right insights? And how do we turn that into a story that people actually want to consume?
Right. I mean, a lot of it starts with the audience, right? If we focus on who we're telling our story to, you know, and that in a business setting, that might be, you know, some executive or a team. And so what we're going to want to understand is, you know, go into this with our eyes wide open and understand, well, what are the problems that they're trying to address as an organization or as a leader? What outcomes are they trying to drive to? What actions are they currently taking? And then what are the metrics or measures that they're currently looking at as KPIs or whatever? And so I think with that kind of understanding of the audience, that can really take us, you know, can direct us to insights that are going to be meaningful to that audience and help us to tell more meaningful data stories, actionable data stories. And so, you know, that's, I think it all starts with the audience and trying to figure that out up front, you know, before we, even before we start doing analysis. I think that's always good to have in our, in the back of our minds, you know, who are we serving with this analysis? Who are the insights going to? And then from there, you know, as we craft the data story with an audience in mind, it's going to, you know, we're going to have a better chance of our data story really resonating with the audience. If we're thinking about what their needs are, what their priorities are, what are they going to be interested in?
So when we talk about data, I mean, is that, so for example, I think I shared this example just recently on another episode, but when I was a journalist, you know, I wanted to find out what are your chances to get out of a ticket or whatever, get it dismissed if you fight it. And I found that if you fight your ticket, your traffic ticket, your chances are 50-50 to get it dismissed or at least lowered. Mm-hmm. So that's data, right? And that's a much better story, me saying that through the data and then weaving actual people around it, than just saying, I think you can get your ticket dismissed if you fight it.
Yeah.
So how do people know what to pick? Like in a business sense, right? Like, do you just have to dive into it? Do you have to figure out what are some insights you can gather? Or how, like, so I went in there, right? And I thought, this, I want to find this out. And whatever the answer is, I was going to write about it. I didn't know what the answer was until I was done looking at the data and figuring it out. But how do you know? Do you just kind of like, do you have to come up with a hypothesis, or do you just dump in and look for something? Jump in, well, not dump in.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably lots of approaches that people take with building a data story. If it comes from the business side, one of the approaches that can be problematic, I mean, but it does happen frequently. So it would be where, like, I want to prove something. I want to show something, you know, I have an agenda. I have a point I want to make to the business. And so I'm going to go and look for data points, proof points that will support my perspective or my angle that I'm taking. The danger with that is selection bias, right? We're going to go in and we're going to select things from the data that support our points. And maybe we don't, unless we go into it with an open mind, and as we analyze the problem, we might say, oh, actually, I was wrong. You know, going back to your point, do I have a hypothesis? And I think that's the scientific method of when we're doing analysis, is it's better to take that scientific manner, in the sense that, you know, I have a hypothesis that I like to validate or invalidate. And if I have that open mind to where the data can shape whether I have supporting details to support my hypothesis, or actually I might have to scrap my original idea because the data doesn't support it. So I think, you know, often what we're trying to do is, you know, when we have a problem or an opportunity that we're looking at, you know, it really does come down to analysis. And if we're on the business side and we don't feel as comfortable working with the data, that might be where you're partnering with somebody with data skills, either on your team or then the analytics team or the data science team. And, you know, in it, you know, your business, your domain expertise is really valuable, because, you know, even if I was the smartest data scientist and I knew nothing about your business, it's going to be very hard for me to deliver value to your organization, because, you know, yes, I have the analytical skills, but I don't understand your business. I don't understand your customers, the way your business works. And so it's going to be very hard for me to come out with insights. And so a lot of times it's maybe partnering with people. If you yourself don't feel like you have sufficient data skills, you can work with data people, analytics people, to bring those insights to you. And then that collaboration can be really valuable. I mean, you can build a really powerful data story that you can take to your organization when you combine that domain expertise with the analytics to back up, you know, what you're trying to share with the organization.
You know, what's interesting to me as I'm listening to you, so it always depends on your goal. Like, everything always depends on your goal, right? Yep. Quite frankly. And so as a journalist or a content marketer, my goal is to publish a story that's of relevance to my audience. Mm-hmm. So whether that story is get your traffic ticket dismissed, or the story is here's how you gather insights or whatever, right? For voxpopme.com, for example, my day job. So that's kind of the goal. It has to be a relevant story, but I'm not necessarily trying to prove anything. Now, mm-hmm. when I tell a story internally, right? So if I want to go to the C-suite or whatever, and I want to share a story about why content marketing works, like I'm not going to find the story why content doesn't work, right? I'm going to find mm-hmm. the story that shows what's working and where do we have room to grow and all those things. Mm-hmm. So there are those different, you have to figure out what are you trying to do and what's the goal. Do you see the biggest value of this for external content creators, like, you know, to the masses, don't market to everyone, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? But the mm-hmm. masses outside, mm-hmm. or is it mostly telling stories internally?
I mean, if we think about storytelling, I mean, we have stories everywhere. We're storytelling creatures as human beings. We consume stories everywhere. And so I don't see a limitation on, you know, data stories, whether they're internal or external. I obviously probably look at it as more as a vehicle that you can use internally, definitely, because if you think about all of the functional roles, you know, they all are inundated with data, you know, HR, marketing, sales, obviously finance, operations, product. I mean, all of these teams have an abundance of data today, and we're trying to make an informed decisions. And when we find something, and the key thing about data storytelling, it's really in those situations where we have an insight. We've analyzed some data, we found an insight, and we want to share that with other people. Obviously, if I'm looking at my dashboard and I manage marketing, you know, paid search marketing for my team, and I see that there's some kind of insight in the data where I could optimize my ad spend in Google AdWords, and I'm the manager of that, I can take that insight and run with it myself. I don't have to get approval from anybody else. I control the budgets, and you know, no data story is needed. When we need data stories is when I need either approval, I need resources, budget, I need other teams to coordinate and buy into the insight and maybe take steps to implement it. And so it's in those situations where we want to share something with others to drive some kind of action. And in an external situation, you know, that's also very applicable. You know, when we're trying to influence an industry, we're trying to influence other people, you know, about maybe our products or what our company does or different things. And we have data to kind of communicate that and hopefully influence the way people perceive us or support an initiative or something that we're driving behind. So internal, external, you know, I think data stories, because data is really just, you know, it can strengthen our story. It can give credibility to our story, depending on the sources of the data, obviously, and the strength of the data. But it definitely can be, it's not limited to just internal. It can be used externally as well. Although most of the time I'm working with people on internal use cases.
Okay, you work internally mostly. Interesting. So internally, of course, you can show me the data, right? Show me the source, might be a better term here. My mother tells me she loves me. I ask for two sources for confirmation, right? That's the journalist in me. Now for external storytelling, people throw around data all the time, right? And then, yeah. But it's always, of course, very favorable in their light, which is okay. But how do we know they're not just making it up? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll give you an example. I throw around these awards I get over the years, right? Top whatever marketer and top this and top whatever. And literally, I have a list on my website where I have a link to the source. So when people mm-hmm. say, who said that? Who, like, how, like, did you just make that up? I'm like, no, I didn't make it up. We can disagree or agree that it's a good list, but I didn't come up with it, right? Here's the source. When you mm-hmm. do it externally, maybe even internally, how do you source it? How do you make sure, or should you?
Absolutely, you should. I mean, I write for Forbes, and so I'm a Forbes contributor. And a lot of what I do when I use data and studies and information, you know, I'll go to the source and I'll you know, sometimes you'll see an article and they quote some study or something like that. And as you start poking at it, you're like, wait a second, the study didn't say that, or the link to the study. Sometimes I've clicked on links and gone to where they said the study findings were not there, you know, and I don't know how many people would actually click on those links to really see whether that data source is credible, whether it's actually, you know, it even has the data that they've linked to. So I think you have to be very careful, especially on external stuff that, you know, you are linking to your sources. I always try to choose credible sources when I'm writing and, you know, publishing my articles externally. And I think that, you know, it's all about ethos, right? It's the ethos appeal as a storyteller. You know, people need to be, you know, I have certain a level of credibility that I'm trying to establish with people. I can trick somebody one time, you know, and then they find, oh, actually that link wasn't credible, that the study's kind of, you know, what, you know, where's this coming from? And I can get you that one time. But then next time when I publish something and I share data, you're going to be questioning it, and or maybe not even, you know, believing in me as you know, somebody that you can trust. And I think a lot of times what we're trying to do as a data storyteller is establish trust with our audience, because ultimately, especially in an internal, well, even external, we're telling multiple stories. It's not like we're a storyteller for one story. I mean, we're typically telling multiple stories. And so we need to establish trust with our audience. And the only way we can do that is by having good, you know, good sources, good quality data to support our points.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, you know, fool me once, shame on you, et cetera, et cetera. But so what I do is sometimes I just use screenshots. So if I'm throwing around numbers and I say this happened and that happened and blah, 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 whatever, here's the story. And so I source it, especially internally, you know, over the years, I just source it with a screenshot, basically, of the data. Now, if it's a budget spreadsheet, that doesn't necessarily work because it's just a whole big mess, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's like the Google Analytics or Google Search Console Insights or whatever it might be, like, and it shows the increase or completion rate of an event or whatever, mm-hmm. that works, right? But I'm instantaneously sourcing, backing up what I'm saying, right? So what are the best ways to do that? I mean, do you always have to, always is a horrible term, right? But do you need to kind of put it together yourself, design it? Or how do you make sure you use the right visuals at the right time?
I mean, one thing about the visuals I find is often, you know, you need to tailor them to your message, you know, and that's one of the things about data storytelling that I think is really important. Yes, we can get these graphs and things externally. We can get, you know, charts and different things that other people have created within our organization. But really, when we want to tell a powerful data story, it's really tailoring your visuals to the message. And so often what I like to do is definitely have access to the raw data so I can visualize it in a way where I can, you know, I can highlight, I can use color, I can highlight things, I can add maybe a more explanatory title than just a generic title on the chart. And being able to really hone in on the data points that I want people to focus on, and even labeling things. I mean, as much, the more power I have to do that and to customize the visual to the message and the points I'm trying to make is really powerful. Now, if that's not an option, you know, then we're going to try and do our best with an image of a chart. And so we're going to overlay, you know, where we want people to focus their attention. We, you know, we're going to do as much as we can in situations where we didn't create the original chart or graph.
And of course, when we talk about data storytelling, it's not always a graph or anything, right? You can tell a really good story through, I mean, all kinds of mediums, right? You could tell a story to what we're doing right now. I mean, we're basically sharing stories. It could be the written word. But what's the best medium typically that people default to or that, that people should use?
I find, I mean, there's some people that think like a dashboard is a data story, and I completely disagree with that statement. You know, basically, I think probably the most common tool that's used to tell a data story is PowerPoint or, you know, a data presentation if you're using Google Slides or whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be that application, but it's a data presentation. And, you know, there's certain things that go into a data story. Usually a data story is sequential, right? So we're sequentially sharing bits of data and information to kind of follow that story arc. And so I think that a data presentation is probably the vehicle that's used most. Now, obviously in external areas, I've seen, you know, with data journalism, you know, they use scrolly telling and other kind of techniques that are very unique to sharing data externally. But I would say in an internal scenario, it's really going to be data presentations, typically through PowerPoint.
Typically through PowerPoint, of course, that's always an interesting thing too. Nobody wants to die because of PowerPoint. So just please, my friends, keep that in mind. But it is a decent medium to show things. The other thing I do sometimes, I just have a Word document or Google Drive, and I pull that up if I have to show something to people. So that seems to work for me as well. Now, let's talk about in your book, you talk about the anatomy of a data story. I know you cover that at length in like 40 some pages, and we don't have time for that kind of depth, obviously, on here. And people can check out your book on Amazon and my storefront and whatnot. But in general, what are some things to keep in mind when it comes to that anatomy?
Yeah, so that's in chapter 4 of my book. And so basically, let me run through the highlights of this. So basically, with the anatomy of a data story, the first thing is obviously you're going to need data, right? For a data story, you're going to need data. So that's really where your foundation of your data story is based on data, meaning that, you know, I use an example of, you know, what's essential to a good chocolate chip cookie? And I would say chocolate, you know, the chocolate. And so it's the same thing with the data story, the quality, the quality and the quantity of data within your data story will be really important to having a good data story. So that's kind of the first thing. You know, we're not just sprinkling in a few data points. We're actually, this is coming from an analysis that we've done. We have findings that we want to share. And so that's kind of the first thing about a data story. The next thing I would say is you want to have a main point. One of the challenges that a lot of data people is that they find multiple things when they're doing an analysis, or even business people too. You know, you get excited about different insights that you have, and you're trying to share everything all at once. And I think one of the key things about a story is you've got to have a destination. Where are you taking people? And if you have multiple destinations, your story can get very complex. And especially if those insights are unrelated, or, you know, they don't tie together in some way, then you're going to have a mess on your hands. So it's really about having a main point that you're trying to convey to your audience. And then obviously you're going to have supporting details and other insights and observations that are going to help you to explain that main takeaway that you're driving to. But that's the second element. And then you got to have an explanatory focus. And so a lot of times I've seen, especially with reporting and things, it's really about the what, and maybe even the who, when, where. But with the data story, what we're trying to do is we're trying to explain something, and so that's really getting into the why and the so what. And so that's really a key focus of a data story. The next thing is, the fourth thing is a linear sequence. I mentioned that earlier, but really, you know, it's not just a random potpourri of facts and figures. No, we're going to organize it in a way. We we're going to take you sequentially through the numbers and try and adhere to, you know, kind of a narrative structure so that we can deliver the insights the best. And then the fifth thing is you have dramatic elements. So even though we think of like data, like Brent, how can you build a story with numbers and facts and figures? But there's lots of ways that we can bring from the traditional storytelling of books and movies and things, and we can bring that in. So we, you know, in a data story, we can have characters. You know, our characters are maybe the customer or the voters or whoever the data set is about. You know, these are typically, data is typically always about people. And so those become the customers. We can have hooks, you know, where we capture the attention of the audience. We have a climax. We have the setting. There's lots of dramatic and narrative elements that we can bring in, including tension and conflict. I mean, these are all things that we can build into our data story. And then the last element of a data story that I think is really common is just the visualization element, especially because of data. Again, going back to what I said earlier, our data is complex, and visuals can often really be that shortcut, you know, where we can, you know, if I gave you a table of data, it's going to be harder for you to go through that and find insights. But if I visualize that for you, I trend it over time. Now you can see the patterns, the trends, you can see an anomaly, a spike in the data. All of that's possible through visuals and using those to convey our information effectively. So those are the six elements of the anatomy of a data story.
Fantastic. And you are a journalist at heart too, because that was a super quick simplification overview of that very in-depth content. Now, really quickly, Brent, we're out of time here, but can people work with you? Do you have, what's your company or when would people reach out?
Yeah. I mean, I offer workshops on data storytelling. I consult with companies that are trying to tell their data stories, coaching teams. And so the best place to reach me would either be through LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn at Brent Dykes, or go to my website, effectivedatastorytelling.com. And there I'm just in the process. I just went recently, just last month, I went independent and have started to do this on my own. And so I'm getting all my services content up on my website, but that's the best place to go for in-depth content.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing your insights. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christoph, for the opportunity. Great to chat with you about data storytelling.
That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review our show on your favorite podcast channels. And don't forget to share this episode with your networks. We appreciate you. Until next time, let the best stories win.